This is Cave Scott Allen of OTCode.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Hello and welcome to Herding Code. This episode is being recorded on July 14, 2010. Tonight we're talking to Vidi. I'm not going to try and say your last name. It scares me a little bit.
It's Gopalakrishnan. It's pretty easy.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Gopalakrishnan?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, great. I should have gone for it. So Vidi is a program manager with the IIS team, and he's been there for 5 months. He's been at Microsoft since December 2007, and before that, he worked a developer for 10 years in the San Francisco area. It was interesting seeing in your bio that you actually at HP worked on an embedded web server at that time as well, right?
Yes, that was a pretty exciting project called Chai. And it was embedded Java, believe it or not. And it was an embedded web server stack, and also an embedded application server that we ultimately shipped that actually functions in a lot of HP laser jets and multifunction printers today. So it was pretty exciting.
Now, I don't know if you know this, but K. Scott Allen has a history of hacking HP computers.
He does.
HP printers, sorry. Not really.
Right.
K. Scott wrote some code about calling over to a HP printer to make different messages show up.
Yes. Interestingly, I spent some time on the security side as well, in the printer group, so I'm aware of some of the issues that Scott might have discovered.
It all comes together.
Yep.
It does.
Yep.
Wow. Well, so was there? I mean, I just thought that was kind of interesting. Was there? Was that helpful in your work on IIS Developer Express? Or did that?
Yes, I think it was very instrumental in me joining the IIS team. Because when I worked on that project at HP, I really developed a passion for web development. And after that, I took every opportunity to kind of pursue that as a career. And given, the place at IIS and the role that it plays, it was definitely very exciting for me to be able to join the team.
Okay. And, one question before we go much further is the name of the product is IIS Developer Express, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, we had some questions from our listeners on Twitter, people asking, isn't it IIS Express or is it Developer Express? Is it related to the company Developer Express, that kind of thing?
Right. So it turned out that for quite a while, the internal product name was IIS Express. And that's, I think, essentially the reason why Scott referred to it that way in his blog. But the official name for the product is IIS Developer Express. And I think the goal there is to make it, very clear that this is a developmental web server and not something that we, specifically designed as a production web server.
Okay. We had another question from Nick Berardi, and he was asking, can IIS Express be embedded or can we embed it technically and legally in other products? So it is a developer server, but is it something people could include with another application?
So I don't believe there's anything, to prevent people from using it in production scenarios. However, being able to embed it as a part of other applications is not an officially supported feature. So it's not something that's, necessarily very easy to do. But given the, interest around, I saw that a number of people, have asked about it in, Scott's blog and also on mine. So it's definitely something that we'll, think about going forward. But as of the beta that we recently shipped, it's not an officially supported feature.
Vidi got back in touch with me after the podcast, and according to what he reads in the license, it currently forbids redistributing, and it also forbids working around technical limitations for publishing. He's still following up with legal because he understands people would like to do that, but as of now, the license...
Okay, and IIS Developer Express is a wrapper around hostable web core, is that correct?
Yeah, that's one way to think about it. Perhaps what I should do is kind of give you an overview of IIS Developer Express.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, and then we can, start talking about, how it relates to IIS and, how we built it.
Sounds great.
So IIS Developer Express is a lightweight and a simpler self-contained version of IIS that we really want to optimize for developers. And as you might know already, it's part of this broader project called Web Matrix, which is all about simplifying web development. and kind of lowering the barrier to you know, writing web applications, not just ASP.NET, but also PHP, HTML, and so on. And WebMatrix has a few different components, with IaaS Developer Express being kind of the foundational web server. The whole web stack is built around. But as a part of WebMatrix, we're also providing, you know, a new syntax called Razor. It's a really neat and convenient way to embed server-side C# and VB code in HTML, and also SQL Server Compact Edition 4.0, which is a zero-install file-based database that you can, you know, simply drop into your applications. But as a part of this overall kind of charter, which is to really simplify web development, the role that IaaS Developer Express plays is that, you know, it tries to give you power and the features that you find in IIS, but in a way that's really easy to work. And that's, you know, essentially what we're trying to achieve here. The way we went about trying to do it is by starting off with the IIS 7 code base. So that in and of itself, you know, gives you a big feature set to work with. So there's a number of things in IIS that don't make, you know, a lot of sense for a developer machine. So for example, we have a pretty heavyweight process model that does on-demand activation and, you know, termination of websites or deactivation of websites in a production environment. It doesn't really make sense on a developer box. So that's one of the features that we took away. The IIS Manager GUI that, you know, a lot of people use to configure and manage IIS Express isn't necessarily ideal for someone who is, you know, new to web development and, you know, is looking for a low concept count. And so we simplified the UI considerably, and we integrated a bunch of features that, you know, most developers are going to want to use, like being able to, you know, build applications from, you know, pre-existing templates, or downloading applications from, you know, the community gallery, and being able to, you know, edit and then finally deploy. So all of those functions, so to speak, are now part of an integrated UI that ships with WebMatrix. And I think finally what we have done is we've made all of the user editable configuration and site content to be on a per user basis. As a result of that, that actually facilitates running your websites as a regular user. That's, you know, another nice feature with IIS Developer Express. And it also means that a number of people can share the same box without, you know, colliding with one another. So that's the sort of approach we took. And for beta, I think that we, you know, delivered on a number of those features. There are some rough edges. And there are some gaps that we know we need to, you know, work on going forward. And we can talk about them. But all in all, you know, I do hope there's enough there that people can play with and give us feedback so we can continue to refine the product. But that kind of from a 50-foot overview is, you know, what IIS Developer Express is all about.
So one quick question would be, how does this relate to the ASP.NET development server that we've been using for a few years?
Right. And that's a great question. So one of the things about the ASP.NET development server is that it's so well integrated with Visual Studio or Visual Web Developer, and it's really convenient. However, it lacks some features that our customers have been asking for, which includes, you know, the ability to test with SSL, the additional authentication methods that you get from IIS, like basic digest, and also the fact that, you know, it's bound to your local machine. So if you want to demo your application to your colleagues, you can't do that. So what we want to do with IIS Developer Express is, you know, deliver that simplicity and ease of use while maintaining the features that we inherit from IIS. And so although it's not supported, you know, today, you can do a few things manually to configure VS 10 or Visual Studio 2008 to work with IIS Developer Express. But out of the box, there's no integration. But we'll be addressing that in the future. And I think by the time we ship the first official release of WebMatrix, we'll also have an update to Visual Studio where you'll be able to select IIS Developer Express as one of the ways, in addition to Cassini, to debug and test your web applications.
Excellent. And you mentioned that it could be configured on a per-user basis on a machine. So is it running not as a service then?
Yes, it's not running as a service.
Okay.
It's a process that you can launch in a few different ways, and it runs under, you know, your identity. And the per user settings are not, you know, they're not configured. That's just the way the product works. Mm-hmm. So the very first time you launch WebMatrix, it'll discover the fact that, you know, you don't have per user settings, and it'll create a per user global configuration file, and it'll install a default application. And this is done under your documents folder. So it's, you know, completely private. You own it.
Interesting. I was thinking about one use case, which would be on a build or a test server, where maybe this thing is just launched as part of a script and then some tester executed against the web application. Is that something that might be possible?
Yes, we do support a command line usage of IaaS Developer Express. And so you can certainly use that, you know, in your testing infrastructure, yeah, for automation and stuff.
Does it xcopy to another machine, or does it require an install?
So there's a bunch of stuff that you, nice stuff that you get when you do an install. Like a lot of people, you know, want to use SSL. As a part of installation, we install a self-signed certificate, which is available for you to use if you do want to use SSL at, you know, with very little overhead. So insofar as xcopy is concerned, the runtime, you know, the way it was designed is, you know, fundamentally xcopyable. However, it's not something that we've really tried to deliver as a part of beta, because we were very busy just trying to make sure all of the other scenarios work. So I strongly suspect that you know, an xcopy scenario should work, but I confess I've never tried it.
Okay, yeah. I'm kind of curious too, how was it built? Was it something where you took the IaaS code base and removed features or added things, or did you start from scratch?
No, we started with the IS7 code base.
Okay.
Yeah.
So moving forward, it should be easy to keep that in sync?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
So, and that's based on that, I was asking earlier, but that hostable web core, right? So that's,
yes,
it's abstracted out and it's used by both,
yes,
IIS7 and IIS Developer Express?
Yes, yes. So the hostable web core is a very simple API that somebody can do even with IIS today, and they can use it to host a IIS worker process in their application. And we've done something very similar. I think at some point in time we used hostable web core, and today I think we use it, if not something very similar. But essentially, we have a wrapper over hostable web core, which provides all of the, you know, additional functionality like per user configuration file and things like that, and a command line interface and so on. And it then essentially uses hostable web core or a like API to actually launch the IIS runtime.
And, you know, I'm remembering now, I remember reading about this, because this has been out since IIS 7 first shipped, that the hostable web core,
yes,
was
hostable
there.
Web core, okay, has been around for a while, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that something, just in passing, but is that something where people are using that in applications that you know of? You know, like for instance, you were talking before about having to write an embedded server, and
yeah,
it would seem like there's applications that do need to do, you know, a limited amount of feature, you know, they want to ship a product that has some sort of server,
right,
built in.
I strongly suspect that there are people who use hostable web core. In my 5.5 months at IIS, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting one. But I think that's the reason why, you know, we shipped that API, because we wanted people, and we knew there were people who wanted to be able to leverage the core, you know, request processing pipeline without having to buy into that whole process orchestration piece that we have with IIS.
Okay, Scott, did you have more questions? I kind of jumped in there.
Oh, I was wondering if MS Deploy would work against this.
Interesting question. I don't believe we ship an MS Deploy service as a part of WebMatrix. What we do include as part of the package is, you know, an MS Deploy client that's very tightly integrated with the whole UI. But I don't think we really envisioned anyone wanting to deploy to an IIS Developer Express. We envision them building applications using WebMatrix and then deploying to a different server.
Right, okay.
Okay, and then we had another question from Twitter from Moto Williams, and gosh, in real life, I believe his real life name is Eric Williams, and he had asked if there are any issues with 64-bit.
So IIS Developer Express and WebMatrix actually works on 64-bit machines. So you should have, you know, there should be no problems running it. I actually do that all the time. But we don't ship a 64-bit build of IIS Developer Express. So it's actually essentially running in the WAV 64 subsystem. But there's no problems that I've ever seen.
Okay. And then different from IIS 7, this goes all the way back to it's supported on XP and Server 2003, right?
Yes. That was, I think, one of the challenges for the team, which was to take that code base and get it to run on XP. But given there are so many people who still use XP, that was a great investment, I think. And so today you can make use of Web Matrix on all platforms, XP and up, even the ones where we never shipped any IIS OS component out of the box. Now on Windows Server 2003, I believe you'll need to be an administrator. That's what I recently read. However, it's one of the supported platforms.
Do you know anything specifically? I agree. I would imagine it would be really difficult to get this running on XP. Is there anything that comes to, I would think like the whole administration and security and that kind of thing would be some of the more difficult.
Yeah, when they built IIS 7, which IIS Developer Express is based off of, they started with, Vista, Windows Server 2008. I'm sure they never at that point were planning in terms of building code that was portable back to XP. And so they for sure used APIs that were specific to Vista and above. So that was part of the deal to go back and, eliminate the use of those APIs. I'm not 100% sure, but there's this thing called http.sys, which both IIS Developer Express and IIS use actually to handle SSL and HTTP. And I believe those interfaces were different between XP and Vista. There were some changes to that interface. Hmm.
We had some other questions from a few other listeners that said, why are they different products? Like we have the, I still think of it as Cassini, but I guess it's ASP.NET developer server. And so the question was, why not just improve that rather than having a separate?
Yes. So I think that there's two aspects to Web Matrix. One of them is, definitely, the Cassini user or the professional developer who lives in tools like Visual Studio and so on. But there was also this initiative in Microsoft as part of the web, platform team to appeal to people who, had a different set of needs. These are people who were looking for a lower concept count. They weren't necessarily, interested in building applications from scratch, but their main focus was on simplicity and building applications as soon as possible, even if that means, starting a community app like WordPress or .NET Nuke. So with Web Matrix, we are targeting these two distinct set of users. And a lot of the Web Matrix UI, I would say, is targeted towards the second set of users. If you download and play with the Web Matrix UI, you'll see that, it's a lot about simplicity and, like I said, a low barrier to entry. And the best way we can reach out to those folks is via, the out-of-band mechanism, downloadable mechanism. Now, Visual Studio is a big product. It's got a different set of, shall I say, processes and disciplines associated with it. And so, those two timelines, at least from the point of view of a beta, don't line up right away. So what we are doing, I think, is probably what we believe to be like the fastest way, we can serve those two communities.
So Developer Express, IIS Developer Express ships out of band, so we're not waiting on platform releases to get that. Would I expect when I download Visual Studio, vNext, that it's going to have an updated, build of Cassini, or would I be moving toward, are things going to move later so that everything's running on IIS Developer Express?
That's definitely the goal.
Okay.
In reality, it turns out that, over the years, there's a lot of people who have dependencies on Cassini. And so we want to do this in a way where, we can give people the benefit without them having to necessarily pay the cost. So from that perspective, we might, decide to take a gradual approach where you might have, both to begin with, and where we gradually, phase out Cassini. But the long-term goal is definitely to have IIS Developer Express as, as your developmental web server with Visual Studio.
I don't know if we talked about this, but one of the things that I read in Scott's blog post that was kind of neat was the ability to just right-click somewhere on the file system. And I guess in the context menu somewhere, you could just say launch IIS Express.
Yes. What you can do is, if you have a folder that has a web application, you can open up, you know, Windows Explorer, right-click on the folder, and you'll see an option to add that or open that as a project in WebMatrix. And that's really very cool. Yeah. I actually do that if I want to use Visual Studio with iOS Developer Express, because what I can do is go ahead, create a project in VS, and from VS, just launch Explorer against that folder, right-click the folder, you know, and launch WebMatrix. And once I have the web server running in WebMatrix, I can go back to Visual Studio, and I can use, in the properties page, I can pointed to iOS Developer Express as the custom web server. So I realize there's a lot of people who might not want to, you know, take all of these steps. But for now, if you're really curious to play with VS and WebMatrix, that's one way to do it.
Awesome. You know, one thing that I'd done in the past, I would normally work with the web developments, or Cassini. it's impossible. Okay. I would normally work with the development server, ASP.NET developer server, and I would only go to IIS when I needed to test from another machine. So I would, you know, if I wanted to use a Mac and browse a website and I'm developing in Windows or that kind of thing. And so is this something where I can open it up to external traffic? Is that supported?
It's not easy to do it with the beta, but that's definitely has to be one of the features we plan on supporting in the future, I think. Today, if you look at the user interface in WebMatrix, there's the server settings page. It turns out that in order to be able to expose your website to external traffic, there are a few steps you need to take. For one, there are some restrictions that http.sys, which is the OS component we rely on, imposes on us. And so today, you've got to go manually tell http.sys that you want to permit your website to listen to external traffic. Once you've done that, then you need to go and manually punch a hole through your firewall. So those are two steps that you need to take today. However, that is, you know, one of the top features that I think we need to add support for as we go along.
And how do I go about telling HTTPSys to listen to external traffic? Is that configuration?
No, it's actually a utility called NetShell. It goes something like NetShell HTTP. I think it's setACL or something of that nature. If you look at the, you know, the online help for http.sys or for NetShell for that matter, then it'll tell you how to go ahead and configure a URL so you can listen over the machine name or an IP address.
Okay, and is NetShell NETSH?
That is correct.
Okay.
The other thing you'll have to do is if you launch WebMatrix and if you go to site settings, you'll notice that there's a text field where it shows you the URL for the site. And by default, the URL will contain localhost, and you just need to go ahead and edit that, you know, to use your machine name.
Well, I mean, that's cool. Those are steps to be taken, but it's nice that it's not like explicitly deny, you know, like shut
right.
off. So
no.
Are there other limitations as far as like, oh, I don't know, if I was running, you know, one machine with IIS 7, like, are there performance limitations or just concerns if I was going to be running a lot of tests against it or something like that?
No, not really. It should, for most, it's the same, you know, runtime that runs in production. And we've not done anything to constrain it in any manner. So I don't believe performance should be any concern.
Okay. And then one thing I did see in the FAQ that it showed as a little different is WCF.
That's right.
Is it just about the services I can bind to or transports? I mean,
it turns out that WCF today has a dependency. The WCF runtime has a dependency on an API we don't currently ship with iOS Developer Express. That is something that we knew when we shipped. But you know, our thought process was that the majority of people who would build WCF applications would be Visual Studio developers, and so our goal was to align support for WCF with the Visual Studio support for iOS Developer Express. However, today, if you do want to write a WCF app with iOS Developer Express, you can. There's a couple of DLLs. These DLLs are private. So I would strongly encourage people to not use it for any other purpose. But what you can do is that you can take a couple of DLLs and GAC them, or more easily, you can just copy them over to the bin folder for the application. And we have this documented in the release notes for WebMatrix. So if you go over to IIS.net and if you can get a hold of that, we have all of the workarounds for WCF listed in that document. And when I get a chance, you know, I'm going to go ahead and write a blog post so it's, you know, easier to find.
And is that kind of the best place to keep up with everything that's going on is IIS.net?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. We have tons of information in IIS.net about various aspects of IIS and WebMatrix. So it's such a great resource that, you know, even people in the product team are constantly going to that website. It's really awesome.
If I'm impatient and I want to start using IIS Express with Visual Studio 2010 today, is there a way to do that? I've seen a blog post out there where someone was doing this. So.
Yes. So it turns out that I've tried to use IIS Developer Express with Visual Studio 2008, but I would hardly be surprised if you can do that with Visual Studio 2010. So I can go ahead and tell you how I did it with VS 2008, if that works.
Mm-hmm.
So here are the steps I followed. I created a project in VS, and after, you know, it was working, I went ahead and launched that folder in WebMatrix, you know, like we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that WebMatrix does, which we'll be fixing in the future, is that by default, it goes ahead and configures the project to use .NET 4.0. So that was definitely a problem for me when I was using Visual Studio 2008. So what I had to do then is go into the site settings page in WebMatrix and change the .NET framework version to 3.5. Now, this should be a pretty simple fix for us to do, to take a look at the, you know, to look at the application and figure out what the right version for it is. But as of today, you're going to have to make that fix yourself. And once you do that, you can go ahead and start the website in WebMatrix if you have not done that already. And when you do that, make a note of the URL that the website is bound to. By default, what WebMatrix is going to do is assign a high-numbered port and localhost. That binding will be assigned to your website. Mm-hmm. So what you can do is just, you know, grab that URL, go back to Visual Studio, and in your project properties page under the web tab, you'll have the option to choose a custom web server. And so once you do that, you check that option and you cut paste this URL that you got from WebMatrix, and you're ready to go. So now you know you can go ahead and debug your website from VS 2008.
Excellent.
One other thing I was thinking about earlier, we were talking about that you can run IIS Developer Express from command line. Are you able to pass in everything? Are there places where you just have to use a configuration file, or can you pretty much command everything you'd need to from command line?
Let me think about that for a second. The command line is pretty powerful, because what it lets you do is pass in a custom configuration file, which the user interface won't let you do. So let me give you a little bit more of a background. When we ship and when we install, we create this user profile configuration instance, and what that is a copy of the, you know, global IIS configuration, including application host.config, in under your documents folder under a directory called IIS Express 8. And if you look at that directory, you'll see that it has a config subdirectory which has the configuration. It has a directory where, you know, you have the log files and so on. However, IIS Express is not bound to this user default configuration file. So what you can do is, you know, customize that configuration file if you like, and launch IIS Express from command line against this custom configuration file. So in a sense, using the command line is actually more flexible. In fact, there's two modes from the command line. One is what we call the configuration mode, where you're passing in a configuration file to IIS Developer Express, and that is, you know, fairly obvious. The other one is the application mode. And that's convenient, but that's a little more constrained. What you can do with the application mode is you can just go ahead and launch IIS Developer Express and give it the vdir or virtual dir containing your application. And what IIS Developer Express does on the fly is it creates a temporary application or a global configuration file that it then uses to launch the application. One of the limitations of the application mode, though, is the fact that there's a default configuration file it uses to launch the application. And you're confined by what this default configuration file can do. So for example, if you're trying to run a PHP application, that is not configured by default. And as a result of that, you won't be able to run a PHP application in application mode. However, you can go ahead and run an ASP.NET application or an HTML application. I don't know how useful that was, but that's kind of the skinny on the command line.
No, that's very interesting. Because I always find, you know, with the command line, it's you can get a certain way sometimes and then you're stuck. So it's good to hear that that's all, that it's definitely been thought through.
Yep.
One other thing that I just thought was interesting, the SSL support. So in order to do that, you're creating a temporary, or you're creating a local certificate? Is this something where, like, if I needed to test out or use another certificate, I can do that? Or is that a point where I'd really need to move to IIS?
So you will definitely be able to use a different custom certificate. It's not easy to do with the beta, but you can do it with a few manual steps. By default, what we do, and I think I mentioned this, is that we install a self-signed certificate. So when you go in WebMatrix and you enable the checkbox which says, you know, use SSL for my website, it just grabs this default certificate from the certificate store. When we ship the product, you know, it's very, very likely that you'll have the option to install your custom certificate. If you want to do that today, there's a few steps, manual steps that you can follow to get that going. So it's definitely possible, and you won't have to upgrade to IIS in order to be able to do that.
Okay. Another thing that came to mind, I apologize, a lot of this is kind of in random order, just as you know.
No
as
way,
you'll say.
That's fine.
So IIS Developer Express right now is shipping with WebMatrix. In the future, you were talking about the hope at least is that it will also be aligned with Visual Studio. Are there other products is there anything else, or is that kind of the extent, WebMatrix and Visual Studio?
That's as far as we're looking at right now.
Okay. It just seems like a really, you know, I can't think of anything else offhand. I just, for instance, you know, I don't know if Office or, you know, if anything else, it just seems like a really, powerful.
It's definitely a possibility. We're just so stacked up right now. We have this mission that we set out to do that we need to do a good job of. Both VS and rounding out WebMatrix is going to keep us busy for the foreseeable future. And to be very honest, I don't personally plan more than 6 months in advance, because you never know what the world is going to be like. So for the foreseeable future, I think it's going to be those two.
We've talked a lot about the command line mode. For the UI, how is that implemented? Is that WinForms or W? I mean, I guess it would probably be just, I don't know.
It's WPF.
Oh, it is. Okay. I was hoping WPF. I was not sure. With it. Okay. Well, that's
it's
great.
WPF. Yep.
Does it do the logging that we're familiar with in IIS?
So actually, it doesn't use the logging infrastructure from IIS. What we use is a different library. And the reason we did that was because we wanted to do, you know, what was, you know, simplest for IIS Developer Express, and not all of the features in IIS made sense. That being said, if you look at the log files today, they're really hard to understand. So when we ship, you know, we'll make it a lot easier to locate the log file, if not files. I'm hoping we'll ship with one log file. It's really easy to find and easy to parse. So that's something we definitely need to work on.
Let me see. I had noticed in looking in the WebMatrix directory that there was a Cassini directory with application host config, administration config, and empty www root. What's the relation of I mean, Cassini's not that. I was just surprised to see the name Cassini there.
I'd say it's a historical, because when we were building the feature, you know, we were playing with Visual Studio all along. And some of those artifacts are actually, you know, used internally to integrate with Visual Studio. I also believe that the following is true. When from the command line you use the application mode that I described, I believe the files under the Cassini folders are the ones that are used to to generate a configuration on the fly, which is then used by, you know, IIS Developer Express to run the application.
On IIS.net, there are a lot of great extensions that you can just download and plug in for mm-hmm. things like Earl rewriting and
yes.
FastCGI and all that stuff. Is that
yes.
all supported? Or to be
so that's a great question. What we've done is that we've shipped a few of them out of the box, and these are the ones that we believe will benefit, you know, most users. And those are URL rewrite, CGI, FastCGI. Now, today, it's not awfully easy to configure them. We don't have a configuration story for beta. It turns out that the URL rewrite module or extension gets used by WordPress and PHP apps under the covers. But we don't have a UI like you do in IIS Manager to go ahead and, you know, configure URL rewrite rules for your application. But that's something that we will be working on going forward. Now, the general story with the extensions is that since we have essentially the same runtime with IIS Developer Express, technically all of these extensions are compatible in mm-hmm. principle. The caveat is that not all of them were designed to run on XP because they were designed for IIS 7. Mm. So that's one caveat. The second mm-hmm. caveat is that we have a different management story with IIS Developer Express. And So currently, you know, we don't have test coverage for all of the extensions out there. And, you know, over the fullness of time, you know, we might, you know, support them all just based on demand, based on how useful, you know, customers find them to be. But as of now, you know, we've really focused on our efforts on the modules that I mentioned. It turns out we have another one called WebDAV, which we ship, but it's disabled by default. But these are the ones that we do plan on supporting right now. I know there were some questions on Scott Goo's blog about support for media server extensions. Unfortunately, you know, it's a fair bit of work to manually configure that to work with IIS Developer Express on, you know, Vista and above, and that module doesn't even run on XP. So, you know, outside of the extensions that I mentioned, we don't have a complete story.
It would seem like for some of that, you know, maybe there would be something where you just at some point have to say the following are not supported on XP, but can be installed on, you know, all other platforms or.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, to sort of counter that, if you're on one of the other platforms, like maybe, you know, Vista, it's possible that you have IIS, you know, out of the box.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So it might be less of a big deal for you if you're not on XP.
Are there, you know, as we're talking about all these different kind of things you can do and extensions and things, are there things that you, I don't, you know, like that you haven't had time to do or but sound like interesting scenarios? Like if you were a developer with some time to play around with yeah. this, are there things that you would try and enable or set up?
Well, I'll confess the ones that really appeal to me are redistributable and Xcopy support. Those are the ones that I personally really care about. But however, you know, like I said, we're really stacked. So we're going to have to be, you know, disciplined and focused. And as a part of that whole exercise, we look at these features and also all of the other ones that we, you know, continue to get feedback on. And we'll try, you know, to solve the problems that benefit the majority of people. But those are my pet projects. If I was a dev and I had like a week's worth off and my wife let me code, those are the ones I would do.
The holy grail, right, for a developer.
Yeah.
What about as a developer not at Microsoft that wanted to, you know, just extend or play with IIS Developer Express and do something interesting with it? Are there things mm-hmm. that they could do given time that you just think would be interesting projects?
I think
a lot of the time as I'm developing something, especially as if it's a tool, I'll think, you know, this would be fun to add on as, you know, for somebody, you know, if they just wanted to play with this or extend it.
Right. So there's a couple of things that I can think of. First of all, IIS Developer Express uses this, you know, has the same pipeline, has the same extensibility APIs that IIS uses. So if there was a feature in IIS that, you know, you really enjoyed and you wanted to get that to run on IIS Developer Express and also share that with other developers, then, you know, note the fact that the underlying configuration system is the same. And so we have a gap there around being able to configure, like I said, and you know, in some cases, you're going to have people having to manually edit configuration files, and it's going to work. So that might be an opportunity for people where, you know, there's this gap in the tools that Microsoft provides, but you have the same extensibility that IIS provides. So, you know, you can go ahead and fill that gap and solve for yourself and others. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it does. So if somebody were to figure out, you know, redistributable support, how does that line up with the licensing? Is that something where it's, you know, this is a free tool to is this something that I could redistribute to people that as long as they're running a supported platform, that's okay to do?
To be honest, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. This is out of my domain.
I mean, I'd imagine the place to figure that out would be to, you know, download web metrics and look at the and
your. I mean, you know, if when I look at it, you know, we have this free tool that's out there. So it's certainly not that, you know, that it's not that we are trying to make money off of or trying to monetize, you know, web matrix. I would personally not have any reason to believe that there would be, you know, any issues with redistributing. Although if you look at the web matrix distribution, it's really small. It's under 15 megabytes. And so if you can, probably the best thing to do is to install web matrix on the target computer, because that way you're always in, you know, officially supported mode. But based on my knowledge, I don't know of any issues with redist.
Just want to remind you that we had that previous note where Vady called back in and told us that the license currently does prohibit redistribution. Well, I think we're about out of questions. This is all really, this is really interesting. I was playing with this before the call and running things from command line. It's really, you know, it's really cool to be able to do that.
That's great. I'm glad you like it.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to talk about, or additionally, you know, do you have any anything you'd like to, you know, like, are you speaking anywhere or anything you'd like to, you know?
I did have a list of things, but I think we hit them all, so I can't think of anything else.
Okay. And I forget, were you on the list to speak at MVC Conf, or was that somebody else?
No, my colleague Thomas is going to do that.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So that does bring up one other question, is how many people are on the team that you work with?
You mean like the number of people?
Well, yeah. Like, how big is the team? You know, it's always interesting for me when I talk to people in development teams at Microsoft, is, you know, you'll expect, oh, this is a big product. They've got, you know, 80 people.
No, no way. So the IIS Express and the IIS team in general is a relatively small team. And we have a lot of different projects we work on. In fact, the folks that work, including myself, the folks who work on IIS Developer Express also work on a number of projects on the IIS server. So it's a pretty tight group, but also very, very motivated, intense, and a lot of fun.
Okay.
But not close to 80 people.
All right. Okay. Well, I guess that's it then. K-Scott, anything?
Just wondering what that team does for fun.
We play soccer.
Ah.
Yeah. We play soccer in the summer.
So there was, I'm sure, a lot of interest in the World Cup.
Oh, absolutely. There was.
It seems like, I mean, I know Phil Hack on the ASP.NET team is very into soccer, and it seems pretty popular.
It is. Yep.
All right. Okay. Well, I guess that's all we have to talk about. Thank you very much for taking the time to explain all this to us.
Thanks for having me, and I do really hope this was useful.
Okay. Thanks a lot. We'll catch you next week on Herding Code.
Take care. Bye-bye.